for any of us to have something said of us like Gabriel just said about Mary would be the highest of a compliment. And it's an amazing statement indeed. Notice the salutation that Gabriel gives once again. The angel came in, verse 28, unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women."
Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. We're about ready to go into one of the services here at Lancaster Baptist and open God's infallible Word. And I thank you for taking time to grow in your walk with Christ as we enjoy this service together. It's our prayer that today's podcast will meet a need in your life. Let us know how God's working in your life and stay in touch with us at lancasterbaptist.org. Thanks again for joining us today. May God richly bless you. Now let's go to the Word of God.
Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 1, for our scripture reading this morning. And we're going to read in just a moment, beginning in verse 26. If you are a first-time guest, once again, welcome. I hope you filled out the card. I hope you'll pick up the book on your way out. And you'll find the outline for today's message inside the bulletin. And we hope that'll help you follow along the Bible verses, especially that we're going to study today. Let's stand together, Luke chapter 1. We're going to read beginning in verse 26. Our family does ask that you continue to pray for our son Larry, and we thank the Lord for his testimony, and he's been scheduled for another very serious surgery later this month, and we would covet your prayers that his body would strengthen and that God would touch him and raise him up. We know that he will. We're trusting God every step of the way. But we know that prayer is a powerful thing, and we ask you to pray for him and for our family this month. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Shall we pray? Our Father, this morning we come to you thanking you for the wonderful portion of Scripture we have just read. And as we study this morning the life of a woman highly favored of God, we ask that you would help us to see how you have favored the world by giving your Son. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, you don't have to look around too far to realize we've come full on into the Christmas season. You can see it around you. You can hear it in the community. And it's a wonderful time of year. The stores, of course, like this time of year. Some of them have been advertising since August for Christmas, and they're ready for the Christmas season. I saw a sign not long ago in front of a store that said, "Big pre-Christmas sale, come and mingle with the crowd." And there are some stores where it's a little more mangling than mingling as people get in and get serious about their Christmas shopping. And then some people think about food at this time of year, and they think about what they're going to eat, how much they're going to eat, and so forth. And as they do that, I saw a bumper sticker that reminded me of one man who is not real worried about excessive eating during the holiday season. His bumper sticker simply said, "Fat people are harder to kidnap." I thought that was a pretty good attitude about how to adjust into the holiday dieting season. But this is a time when folks do think a little more about gatherings and gifts and even food and diet. But this morning we come really right back to the very basic truth of what is Christmas really all about. And we see this morning God in several ways speaking to Mary and telling her that she was highly favored among women. God favored Mary. God blessed Mary. And through Mary and through the work of the Holy Spirit in her, the entire world was blessed with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want you to see with me how it all began back as she heard the message in Nazareth and later gave birth in the little town of Bethlehem. Notice, if you would, this morning, a heavenly messenger coming to Mary. The Bible tells us that Mary, this common young woman from Nazareth, suddenly has in her presence a heavenly messenger by the name of Gabriel. Verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now notice, if you would, Gabriel's appointment. The Bible says it was in the sixth month. This is the sixth month from the time of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And in the sixth month of that event, the Bible says that Gabriel came now to speak to Mary. And we learn from this appointment that our God is a God always on a timetable. He is always working according to His timetable. For example, 4,000 years had transpired prior to this event in world history, and yet God had His calendar date marked to send Gabriel to Nazareth at this time. In fact, the Bible says in Galatians 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And so Gabriel's appointment with Mary may have caught Mary by surprise, but it didn't catch God by surprise. It had been marked on His calendar for all of that time. Now we see concerning this man Gabriel that Gabriel was sent by the Lord. The Bible says in verse 26, "sent from God." And the name Gabriel means warrior of God. Gabriel is an angel that was used at specific times to give messianic prophecies. For example, back in the book of Daniel, 550 years prior to this, it was Gabriel that had given prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. It was Gabriel that had given prophecies concerning John the Baptist and the one that would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Gabriel again telling Mary about the coming of Jesus Christ. And by the way, I believe it's going to be old Gabriel that blows that trumpet when Jesus comes again real soon. Gabriel had a purpose from God, and the Bible tells us concerning that purpose in verse 26, "In the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God." Notice the word "sent." It's a Greek word, apostello. It is the same word from which we derive the word apostle, which means a sent one. And even as the apostles were sent into the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, Gabriel was sent to the world to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was sent by God. And then notice he was sent to an appointed place. The Bible says in verse 26, "sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." When we were in the Holy Land in June, we were able to come across the Valley of Megiddo, a very beautiful valley, a fruited valley. And then we began to come into the Galilean region, about 7-8 miles, it seemed like, from Nazareth over the hills to the Sea of Galilee. When you came into the countryside of Nazareth, you could not help but ponder the life of Mary and Joseph. You could not help but ponder the fact that this is the place where Gabriel came and spoke to Mary. Nazareth today is comprised of Jewish people and Islamic people and some broadly named Christian people. Still a quaint, small area, really. But during the days of Jesus, it was nothing more than a Roman garrison. It was a place where the Roman soldiers kept their equipment and kept together for military practices and exercises. It was really kind of a common place, nothing special much about Nazareth. That's why Nathanael said in John 1 and verse 46, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" There were some people who questioned Jesus Christ being the great Son of God just because he came from a place called Nazareth. But you know, one of the things we see in the Christmas story is the condescension of God's love toward us, that Jesus Christ came for all men, not just a few, but he came for all who would believe. And Nazareth and Bethlehem are pictures of the love of God to all men who will believe. Gabriel had an appointment, but I want you to notice, secondly, Gabriel's appearance. Gabriel made his appearance to Mary in verse 27. We read about it. "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now notice, if you would, this appearance was made to a chosen maiden. And Mary was specifically chosen by God for this task. And I want you to see one of the reasons why is the fact that she was a pure maiden. And several ways and several times in this chapter, the Holy Spirit does much to protect the purity of Mary. Some Bible versions speak of Mary as a young woman. And one of the reasons we reject those Bible versions is because of the fact that this passage we're reading about this morning goes to great length to protect her as a pure, betrothed virgin prepared by God for this mission in her life. There's a great difference between being a young woman and being a virgin, and the Bible speaks of that specifically here. And in fact, in verse 34, the Bible says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And so we see the scriptures in a couple of different angles telling us that she was a woman particularly prepared for this great event. The Bible says in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So Mary was a chosen maiden. Mary was a pure maiden. And notice, Mary was an espoused maiden. And that's significant. It says in verse 27, "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph." Now, in our days, we use the term engagement. And frankly, having pastored for going on 24 years in this church, having been in the ministry preaching now for nearly 30 years or so, I have seen that there have been many people who are engaged, and it doesn't mean what it meant in Bible times. Many times the engagements are broken off. Many times there's promiscuity during engagement. It's not a holy time in America. But in the Jewish culture, to be betrothed literally meant marriage without the consummation of the physical union. They had already agreed, Mary and Joseph. They had already signed legal documents. It was approved by their families. The date was set. They were essentially married except for the physical union. And so when we read the word espouse, we're reading about a holy agreement. So Mary was not only a pure woman, but Mary now had entered into this agreement with Joseph, her husband-to-be. Now notice, not only the heavenly messenger, Gabriel, coming down and making this appearance, but let's learn a little more about Mary. Let's learn about this honored maiden, this woman that we read about in the Bible named Mary, an honored maiden. Now notice in verse 28 what the Bible says to Mary. "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Now notice, first of all, that Mary was honored by God's announcement. And I tell you, ladies and men as well, for any of us to have something said of us like Gabriel just said about Mary would be the highest of a compliment. And it's an amazing statement indeed. Notice the salutation that Gabriel gives once again. The angel came in, verse 28, unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Now the word hail is a word that means rejoice. It was a joyful greeting. He said, "I've got some good news for you, Mary." And he said, "You are highly favored among women." Now as Baptists, we do not pray to Mary. We do not pray through Mary. We have never seen that in the Bible. We have one mediator between God and man, and the one mediator is Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. We do not pray to statues. We do not pray to historical figures, if you will. We as Baptists have preached against using any other mediatrix or mediatorial system. There's not one verse that tells us to pray to or through Mary. And many of our Baptist forefathers in the Dark Ages were martyred or murdered because they preached that you should not pray to Mary. But let me say this. As Baptists, we believe that Mary, while she is not to be worshipped or prayed to, she is to be highly respected. She was a godly, gracious, and pure woman. Indeed, an example for every woman and man in this room today. For the Bible says she was highly favored by God. How many of you would say this morning, I would like God's favor in my life? I would like someone to be able to see my life and say, God is with you. Notice that the Bible says in verse 28, the Lord is with thee. Now, I have known some people who called themselves Christians. They even had bumper stickers on their car that said, honk if you love Jesus. But I have wondered if the Lord is really with them. In other words, their attitude, their lifestyle, sometimes did not reflect the presence of the Lord. But Mary was such a woman that everyone around her knew the Lord was with her. That's a great sermon all by itself for all of us to live this week. The Lord was with her. And so she was a woman who was honored by God's announcement through Gabriel's salutation. She was honored by God's announcement through God's presence in her life. Notice in verse 28 it says, hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. There again the phrase, the Lord is with thee. Now the Lord was with her in her walk daily. The Lord would be with her physically as she carried him in her womb. What a tremendous privilege and blessing in her life. And then God gave this announcement to Gabriel through Gabriel's salutation, through God's presence. But notice thirdly, through God's blessing in her life. Through God's blessing, this announcement was made. Verse 28 says it again, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. The word blessed, speaking of the fact that God viewed this woman as particularly blessed and prepared for the purpose of carrying his son. And so we see an honored maiden, honored by God's announcement. Notice secondly, she was encouraged by God's assurance. She was encouraged by God's assurance. Now, if you're like me, sometimes you read the Bible and you try to put yourself in the place of a Bible character. Maybe David or Joseph. Maybe you've tried to put yourself in the place of Joseph being betrayed by your brethren. But in this case, we put ourselves into the place of Mary. And we hear this wonderful announcement. Hail, thou that art highly favored among women. Blessed art thou among women, and so forth. And we hear that, and yet we wonder about Mary's response. And notice what her response is in verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now notice Mary's concern. The angel Gabriel's telling her, you're highly favored, the Lord has sent me. He kind of pops in out of nowhere. And the Bible tells us that Mary was troubled. The word here means to be troubled greatly or to be agitated. She was excited, perplexed about this news. It was unexpected. And I want you to notice also what she says here in verse 29. It says, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation that should be. Notice that phrase, she cast in her mind. She begins to bring together different reasonings in her mind. She's trying to figure this out in her mind. She's wondering about what's going on right now. This is bizarre, if you will, to her. She's so concerned about what would Joseph think. She's concerned about all of the ramifications. Who is this? What's going on? And no doubt she had reason to be concerned. And sometimes we have news in our life that brings similar response. We begin to cast in our mind, and sometimes I do that in my own mind and trying to put the pieces together, if you will. That is our human nature, is it not? To try to put these things together. But notice, if you will, Gabriel's comfort to Mary in verse 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. One of the great lessons from today's message is just those two words, fear not. Because when we have news in our lives that we're trying to put together and we're casting in our mind, then we must come back to those truths that we have learned even as children. And how many times have we come back to those truths even in recent days? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And that is what Gabriel was saying. Fear not, Mary. Don't spend all your time casting in your mind what's going on. Just know that God has a plan. We see a heavenly messenger by the name of Gabriel this morning coming to speak to Mary about the work of the Son of God. And we see an honored maiden who's confused. But God says to her through His messenger, fear not. But would you notice with me finally this morning a hopeful message? You see, Gabriel didn't come to scare Mary, and God didn't give us His word or the circumstances of our lives to scare us. God has a hopeful message for Mary, and it is a message that brings hope to the entire world. Now notice this message, if you will, in verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call His name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David, and He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. Now notice the message, first of all, is the message of the promised Messiah. And we see here this morning that there is a promised coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, verse 31, and shalt call His name Jesus. I heard President Obama give a speech this week in which he was attempting to encourage the troops and encourage our nation. And within the first three sentences of that speech, he said, and I quote, "Islam is one of the great religions of the world," was what he said. And I suppose if you're talking in the sense of population, or if you're talking in the sense of political workings, perhaps there's some measure of truth to that. But my friend, this morning, Islam denies everything I'm preaching right now today. The fact of the matter is today that we are reading the story of how the Holy Ghost came upon Mary and conceived in Mary the Son of God, whose name is Jesus Christ. And the false religions of this day deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They say that God had no son, but we're here celebrating all month long the fact that God has a son and His name is Jesus Christ. And we're not here today to preach the alleged virtues of all the religions in the world. We're here to lift up the name that is above every name, and that name is Jesus Christ. And we do that unashamedly. We believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one comes to the Father except by Jesus Christ. Now, Mary knew that the Messiah had been promised. In fact, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." In other words, from the time that Mary was a little girl, she had heard about Messiah. The prophets spoke about it. They wrote about it. I read to you a moment ago Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah prophesied, a virgin shall conceive. And throughout the scriptures, Micah and Daniel, God, Genesis 3:15, God had been prophesying the coming of His Son. And so the angel says to Mary, "Mary, you are going to be a part of the fulfillment of the prophecy of the fathers before you." And so again in verse number 31, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." And so this was a gift that would be delivered by God to all the world through Mary. How many of you agree with me this morning? Jesus is the greatest gift of all. Amen? And given by God through Mary, how we thank the Lord for it. Now sometimes our gift giving doesn't go according to our plan. I heard about a lady who had bought all of her gifts, but she still needed to get 40 or 50 cards for her friends. She ran to a Hallmark store. She bought 50 cards. She sat down and signed them hurriedly, stuffed them into the envelopes, put the stamp on them, put them in the mailbox. And she was glad to get that done, one of her holiday chores done. She sat down Christmas morning, had a cup of coffee. She had one of those cards left, and she just decided maybe she would read it. It was pretty, but she had not really read it. And the card said on the inside, "This card is just to say, a little gift is on the way." And suddenly she realized she had 49 friends waiting for a present to come. Now, I don't know if those 49 friends ever got that present, but I know this, we got ours. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He came because of Mary's surrender and because of the love of God. Now, this promised coming had been made by the prophets of old. And they prophesied a child to be born. And notice that in verse 31. "And thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now notice the prophesied child. His name shall be called Jesus. Let's say that name together, shall we? Jesus. What a lovely name. Jesus. It's an easy name. It's a name that the children in the nursery can say this morning. It comes from the Hebrew Joshua, which means Jehovah will save. And that's why Jesus came, to save us from our sins. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. It's an easy name. May I say to you secondly this morning, it is an exalted name. The name of Jesus Christ is above all names. And politicians, in their attempt to gather influence, will put all religions on the same shelf. But in this house of God this morning, we are here to lift the name of Jesus above every other name. So, well, why do we do that? Are we just trying to make ourselves look better? No, we do that because we're here this morning to follow the Bible. And the Bible says in verse 32, notice please, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 is in your notes. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Listen, his name is an easy name, but his name is an exalted name. But then I want you to see, thirdly, his name is an eternal name. For the Bible says, "He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and he shall rule forever and reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom," verse 33, "there shall be no end." You see, it is an eternal name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9 says, "The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." And so Gabriel says, "Mary, I have a hopeful message for you. You will be a part in God's messianic plan of redemption for all of the world." And so we see the message of the promised Messiah. But notice, secondly, it was the message of a powerful miracle. The message of a powerful miracle. Now, perhaps at this point, Mary is thinking to herself, "All right, this is a real angel. This is a real revelation. It's hard to comprehend it, but he told me not to fear." But now she's going to move to that second part of reasoning where she asks, "How does it happen? If it's going to happen, and God says, fear not, then how is it going to happen? How will this powerful miracle take place?" And notice Mary's question about that in verse 34 of the Bible this morning, Luke chapter 1. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Once again, The scriptures protect her purity in this question that Mary asked, how can this happen since I do not know a man? And Mary's question was valid, but notice Gabriel's answer, if you would, this morning in verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now this is one of the most important theological corner pieces of our faith that you'll ever study in any church, anywhere, or in the Word of God. And so I want you to read it with me again, and I want you to think about verse 35 as Mary has asked the question. Listen to the answer as we read together. Ready, begin. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called. Now again, many religions in the world deny this verse. But I want you to comprehend with me this morning. Mary had an honest question, and the many religions of the world would say, yeah, it's a bunch of baloney. This can't happen. But God has answered how it would happen. So notice Gabriel's answer. First of all, he tells us the process is a mystery. He says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. In other words, Mary, this baby will not be born after the normal manner of men, but the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. A divine heavenly procedure is taking place here, and the life that will come within your womb is coming by the power and delivery of the Holy Spirit. This will not be the seed of man, this will be the seed of God coming into you. John 1:14, it is worded this way, and the Word, that is the eternal Word of God, Jesus Christ, the pre-existent Word, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. How could the eternal Christ come and dwell among us? Only by a miracle, and that miracle was this virgin birth. The process is a mystery, but notice secondly, the performance is a miracle. For the Bible tells us in this passage, the angel answered, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And this work that was performed in her was miraculous. It was not done through science or medicine. It was done by the work of God. Notice the power is in the mighty hand of God. Verse 35 says once again, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus Christ was born of a miracle. The power of God was involved in the anesthesia, as we might call it, bringing this to pass in order that Mary would conceive. And the power came from God Almighty. In fact, notice in verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Would you say that with me this morning? For with God, if you can follow the logical sequence of this, Mary says, how can this happen, Gabriel? I don't know a man. And Gabriel says, Mary, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and the power of Almighty is going to overshadow you. And this that is born will be born as the Son of God. And as if to apprehend, or as if to sense Mary's question and desire to know, Gabriel just simply says to her in verse 37, Mary, for with God all things are possible. And there might be someone here this morning and you're still at that how could it be stage. And I tell you, my friend, there will never be salvation in your life until you come to the with God all things are possible stage and believe that God sent His Son through Jesus Christ and recognize that salvation is through His power. And sometimes in our lives, we face circumstances where we're trying to understand how can it be and how can it change or be different or how can I understand my way through? And God gives sometimes a minimal explanation but then simply says, remember that with me all things are possible and continue your walk by faith. It was that way for Sarah. She never thought she'd have a child and yet God gave Isaac. And throughout the scriptures, God shows that all things are possible. And may we remember that this morning. And then I want you to see as we close Mary's response in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. The word is doulos. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Mary stopped trying to figure it out. Mary believed that with God all things were possible. And Mary just said, here I am, Lord. Use me for your honor and your glory. Perhaps that's where you need to come in your life today in order to be saved. You're trying to study all the different religions, but you need to come to the place where Mary came and say, Lord, I trust. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Maybe you're already saved, but you've been wondering and questioning about circumstances in life, and you need to come to that place, having heard the promise that with God all things are possible, come to that place of saying, be it unto me according to thy word. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.